Hey, if you want a firearm that is easy to transport, you got to check out the U.S. Survival Rifle from our friends at Henry Repeating Arms. Now, it is a portable rifle that you can put together, take apart in just minutes. And then when you're not using it, you can store the parts in the little case that it comes in. It's so small, you can store it pretty much anywhere, and it's light enough to carry everywhere. Now, it comes in black and two different camo patterns, and you can pick one up for $300 to $400, depending on the finish. Check out their videos. Go to their website. It's one word, henryusa.com/survival. And while you're there, make sure you order their free catalog. Now, Henry makes more than 200 rifles and shotguns and revolvers, all made in America, all backed by a lifetime satisfaction guarantee and the best customer service in the business. Go to their website, henryusa.com. Get their free catalog. They'll send you free decals and a list of dealers where you are. That's henryusa.com, free catalog decals for the Henry U.S. Survival Rifle. Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider. You know, we're so fortunate in this country to have a military that is 100% volunteer. That's why Pure Talk proudly supports America's Warrior Partnership and their mission to prevent veteran suicide. Now, you can help this great cause simply by choosing a wireless company that shares your values. You can make the switch, the same service, cell towers, 5G network as the big carriers, and the best 5G network, $20 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, S-E-A-N, make the switch, puretalk.com/Sean for superior cell phone service and helping a vet in need.
Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
You know, attention to detail is critical when you own your own business, so use LegalZoom.com for the legal details. Now, their network of independent attorneys licensed in 48 states, well, they know local laws and can provide answers to your legal questions. LegalZoom.com is not a law firm, so you won't pay by the hour. Just use Hannity1 when you check out and save even more. LegalZoom.com.
All right, this portion of the Sean Hannity podcast is sponsored by Audible. Now, by signing up for a 30-day trial with Audible, you'll be able to get that audiobook you've always wanted to read for free. Now, discover where Audible audiobooks can take you. To get started, just go to audible.com/Hannity. That's audible.com/Hannity.
Director Comey said that my answers were truthful, and what I've said is consistent with what I have told the American people.
We are addressing and resolving longstanding concerns with Iranian behavior, and the benefits are almost too long to mention.
Yes, I think the Vermont Republican nominee is unfit to serve as president.
We're running against a rigged press. We're running against dishonest people. Okay? Really dishonest people.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
We're burning down the night, shooting bullets at the moon, baby. This is how we roll.
Sean Hannity. The new Sean Hannity Show. More behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America.
You know, this happens every election. I can predict it with a certainty. Everybody at different times begins to panic. I want you all to stop panicking. I will address what you are reading today. Let me first say that the latest LA Times poll has Trump leading 45.3 to 43.7. I've never said I don't know today who's going to win the election. But if you read the reports out there that you think, oh, Donald Trump's in for it. That's it. He blew it. It's been a horrible week for Trump. It's over. He's done. He reportedly asked advisors why the U.S. can't use nuclear weapons three times in one meeting. I talked to three people in the meeting. It didn't happen. I mean, the media is now messing with your head. There's story after story out there that Republicans are actively exploring a plot to ditch Trump. And apparently, Reince Priebus called the candidate over the feud, over the Khan family, etc. Well, there's another poll out today, in case you're interested, that actually shows Pew Research that Trump is, voters say Trump more likely than Hillary to turn the country around. Everybody needs to calm down. Another headline today, Trump allies plot a candidate intervention after 48 disastrous hours. I'm going to address all of this in the course of the program with my advice. Yeah, it hasn't been the best week. With my advice for Mr. Trump, but it is not what it is being portrayed to you as in the media. You know, there's a massive double standard. You know, you just come out of a Democratic convention where they dedicate a whole day to Black Lives Matter. At that convention, I have Black Lives Matter people saying, F the police, white people, you get in the back. And the whole stadium in there is chanting Black Lives Matters. What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them now? And that wasn't a big deal to the media. You know, all of this is contrived, or at least the majority of it. You know, the whole idea about not listening to Pat Smith at the Republican convention. Pat Smith, who lost her son in Benghazi, was lied to by Hillary. That's not as big a deal as Kazir, or Kizra is really the proper pronunciation of Khan. The Constitution must always be subordinated to Sharia. Oh, I'm sorry. Did he say that? Reports out there that he did. We have some experts that are going to join us later in the program. We'll examine that for you. So I'll get to all of this. I'll even get to it all in this hour. So stay with us here. And we got a lot of stuff we're going to get to in the course of the program today. We're going to get a lot of calls in as well. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program here. Let me start with the news that the media is ignoring today. The media wants to follow the horse race. The media wants you to follow the Khan issue. Mr. Khan, who said he's done giving interviews, has given more interviews. Khan is all worked up over Donald Trump, and he didn't receive the Purple Heart properly from a gentleman who gave him a Purple Heart. You know, it looks, it maybe from the outside with media coverage, I would say, yeah, it looks chaotic. But let me tell you in other news here, which I think ought to be at the top of the mind of every single American. Now, I look at the record. Hillary Clinton cannot run on her record. She has no substantial accomplishments in her career, which is why it's so fun when we have Hillary supporters on this program. All right, give me three specific things she's accomplished that have impacted the lives of the American people. And we play Jeopardy music, la, 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 la. Nobody can answer. We can't say it about Libya. You can't say it about Benghazi. We now learn that it was when Hillary was Secretary of State, they began this ridiculous negotiation with Iran. You can't say it about Iraq. You can't say it about Syria. You can't say it about Egypt when they gave Mohamed Morsi the F-16s, planes of money and tanks. You can't say it in any corner of the world. You can't talk about the economy and say this is a great success. Well, we now know that the Iranian deal began, the negotiation began, with Adolf Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Hillary Clinton being the Secretary of State at the time. And the Wall Street Journal is now reporting that on the front page of their print edition today, copy right here in front of me, that it was the Obama administration that, in fact, secretly organized, get this, an airlift of $400 million of cash that they sent to the Ayatollahs, the number one state sponsor of terrorism, a country responsible for killing Americans in Iraq and Afghanistan, that they gave them $400 million of cash that they flew in that coincided with the January release of four Americans that were detained in Tehran, according to U.S. and European officials. And congressional staff were briefed on the operation afterwards. In other words, let me read from this. Wooden pallets stacked with euros, Swiss francs, and other currencies were flown into Iran on an unmarked cargo plane, according to officials. The U.S. procured the money from the central banks of the Netherlands and Switzerland. By the way, if you take out 10 cents from a bank in Switzerland, they've got to report it. God forbid you have a hidden Swiss bank account, but it's all right. The government can do it. Just like the government, you know, they can make all the money they want off a lotto and gambling and megabucks and this a bucks and that a bucks. And they get their piece of the pie when it comes to gambling in Nevada, Vegas, Reno. It's just so full of crap. Oh, we don't want gambling. Well, why can't I start my own little casino right here in New York? Good luck to that. They want their piece of the pie. But No problem. We'll have racing and off-track betting, and they all get they're making millions. It's like they make zillions on cigarettes. They make more money from cigarettes than the cigarette companies. But they want to just go after these evil tobacco companies. Well, you're living off the dying of the American people, too. If it was so horrible, it's like selling drugs. Next thing, I guess they'll make drugs legal, and they'll profit off the selling of crack and heroin. You know, it's if they can stick their fingers in your pocket and they can make money off it, the government's there. Anyway, so they stack these wooden pallets with Swiss francs, euros, and other currencies. They fly it in on an unmarked cargo plane. The money represented, they're saying, the first installment of the $1.7 billion that the Obama administration reached with Iran to resolve this dispute over a failed arms deal that was signed just before the 1979 fall of the Shah of Iran, and the settlement, which resolved claims before an international tribunal in The Hague, also coincided with the formal implementation that same week of this nuclear agreement where we're going to give $1.7 billion. I mean, it's ridiculous. So we're giving Iran all of this money. With the nuclear deal done, prisoners released, the time was right to resolve the dispute as well, Obama said at the White House January 17th. Well, he didn't disclose that he flew in $400 million in cash on a pallet stacked with all sorts of currency in an unmarked cargo plane. He forgot that part. He didn't tell you that part. And then it goes, the senior U.S. officials denied any link between the payment and the, quote, prisoner exchange. Now, Iran is weighing in on this, and Iran has a very different story. Iranian officials, who actually seem to have a better track record of truth-telling than Hillary and Obama, they're now confirming that the $400 million payment was a ransom payment. That's what they're saying. This was in the Wall Street Journal, too. While senior U.S. officials deny any link between the payment and the prisoner exchange, they say the way the various strands came together simultaneously was coincidental. That wasn't a quid pro quo. But officials also acknowledge that Iranian negotiators on the prison exchange said they wanted cash to show that they gained something tangible. Now, Iranian press reports have quoted senior Iranian defense officials describing the cash as a ransom payment. U.S. European officials wouldn't disclose exactly when the plane carrying the $400 million landed in Iran, but a report by the Iranian news agency, close to the Revolutionary Guard, well, they've now spoken out about it. And I got to tell you, you know, they now pointed out that the cash arrived in Tehran at the airport the same day the American hostages departed. Revolutionary Guard commanders boasted at the time that the Americans had succumbed to Iranian pressure. Quote, taking this much money back was in return for the release of the American spies, said General Mohammad Reza Nagati. He was the commander of one of their missile, I guess, places there, whatever. By the way, let's play some of this that actually confirms what I'm saying here. You got Josh Earnest describing this today. Here's what he said.
And just respond to two specific pieces, yes, though. One is, was this money ransom for the folks that were released?
No, it was not. It is against the policy of the United States to pay ransom for hostages. Well, Mike, here's this again. We talked about this in January too, so let's talk about this. There was a conscious strategic decision that was made on the part of the Obama administration as we were implementing the deal to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon to resolve other longstanding concerns that we had with Iran. And that included securing the release of five American citizens who'd been unjustly detained in Iran and closing out a long-standing financial dispute in a way that saved the American people potentially billions of dollars. So this all came to a head at the same time because we are addressing and resolving long-standing concerns with Iranian behavior. And the benefits are almost too long to mention, but the highlights are Iran is not developing a nuclear weapon. Iran is had to scale back significant aspects of their nuclear program. Iran released five Americans who were unjustly detained on Iranian soil.
All right, let me go and to cut two from Josh Earnest, where he actually admits it's possible that some of the money has gone to fund terrorist activities.
And I think what is true from sanction, from all of the money that Iran has received since January, including from sanctions relief, which actually, as we know, is more than $400 billion. It's much smaller than the hundreds of billions of dollars that critics of the deal predicted. But we can get to that in a little bit, too. The analysis that we've done confirms what we predicted, is that largely that money was spent for to address the dire economic condition of the nation of Iran. The president was quite forward-leaning in advance of the nuclear deal even being completed in acknowledging that we know that Iran supports terrorism. We know that Iran supports Hezbollah and the Assad regime. And it certainly is possible that some of the money that Iran has is being used for those purposes, too.
Now, if you know they're a terrorist state, why did you give them all the money? If you know they're a terrorist state, why are you giving them billions of the $150 billion taxpayer dollars? You know, let's put it this way. What could we do with that money for poor people? Let's put it in liberal terms that they might understand. Redistributing the wealth. You know, and by the way, if you believe this is a coincidence, I've got swamp land in Florida I'd like to sell you. Josh Earnest is a liar. And by on top of that, John Kerry and Susan Rice both admitted that this money could fund terrorism, but they gave it anyway. It happened the same day. Do you understand the significance of this? Do you understand how dangerous it is to do this? Because now you're going to see more Americans taken hostage. And what are we going to do then? So clearly we paid ransom to kidnappers to get those who were kidnapped back. He paid the number one state sponsor of terror ransom. And the information was hidden from you, the American people. And by the way, it's so misleading, that is a lie. That qualifies as a lie. And paying ransom puts more Americans at risk. It signals to Iran and others that, hey, let's take more Americans hostage. We're going to get money out of this. It also shows that the nuclear deal, Trump is right, the worst in American history, was even worse and more corrupt than we thought. And on top of all of this, Senator Lankford, who said the subsidizing the military is arguably the country that poses the greatest threat to the United States, is the worst use of U.S. tax dollars by any American president ever. Tom Cotton accused Obama of paying $1.7 billion ransom to the Ayatollahs for hostages. And the action was part of a pattern of appeasement that Obama and Hillary and others pursued with Iran from day one. Now, I know what the response of liberals are. Let's go back to talk about Mr. Khan, who Donald Trump called the son of hero. Let's go back and talk about that. Didn't Ronald Reagan, the sainted conservative, trade arms for hostages? Yeah, he sent spare parts. He did. It was a mistake. But it was also the worst mistake of his presidency. And it led to a crisis in his presidency, Iran-Contra. And Reagan eventually apologized for it. But will Obama do anything like that in light of this revelation? Probably not. Obama's never going to apologize. I bet you he still thinks it's a wonderful deal. I mean, after all, he's out there apologizing for America, but it is an awful deal, and now it's worse than we ever thought. And by the way, this comes on the heels of last week's news that as a result of this deal, the Iranians cut their time to build a nuclear weapon in half, as people like I predicted. All right. I'm going to get into the politics of what's going on with Trump and the media when we get back. Now, you've heard me talking about TRYSOFI.com, TrySOFI.com. Now, if you have a student loan, you want to refinance it, on average, the person that goes to TrySOFI saves $19,000 over the course of their loan. Now, they also at TrySOFI.com give personal loans at a low fixed rate. There's no fees. It's a great alternative if you have credit card debt. Americans now owe more than $750 billion in outstanding credit card debt. And the national average interest rate on those credit cards, well, that's over 15%. I think you can probably get a cheaper rate from the mob. You might want to check it out. Anyway, that's why you need to know about TrySOFI.com. If you're working hard, you have a good job, you pay your bills, but you have all this credit card debt, TrySOFI.com is going to save you money. And you're going to consolidate that debt, or maybe you need it for home improvement or something like that, and you're going to get a much lower rate. And they will lend you up to $100,000. And checking your rate, by the way, does not impact your credit score. And by the way, you'll see your new rate in less than 2 minutes. Just go to TRYSOFI.com. They have low fixed rates for personal loans, no application, no origination fee.
2 minutes of your time, and it won't impact your credit score. Try SoFi.com. We'll continue.
Focused on finding solutions to today's biggest problems. This is The Hannity Show. John Hannity.
Let me address when we get back something that is, there's all these headlines out today, and you would think that Donald Trump is in need of an intervention and all this other stuff. I mean, I'm reading it. There's some legitimate criticism that can go to Donald Trump's direction. When we come back, I'm going to lay out for him, not that he's ever going to listen to me or anybody's going to listen to me, what I think Donald Trump needs to do to get his mojo back. This is not over. Stop panicking. Don't believe every press report you have. You've got to understand a lot of this is rooted in media hype. They think they've got Donald Trump that's sensing blood in the water over this con issue. It's not going to be an issue come November is my prediction. And I think that it's very simple to get back on track. We'll get to all of this. We'll get to your calls. We've got everything that you could ever imagine. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. My advice for Trump is next. You need to take control of your family and assets. Now, it sounds like common sense, but too many people procrastinate instead of getting an estate plan before it's too late. Now, with LegalZoom.com, there's no reason to put it off any longer. Now, you don't have to figure out on your own whether you need a will or a living trust and what's best for you. Instead, you work with an independent attorney, now available in 48 states. Now, they'll walk you through your options and recommend an estate plan that offers the best solution to fit your needs. And since LegalZoom is not a law firm, well, you can count on efficiency and value. Everything is on your schedule, your terms, plus you know what your estate plan bundle costs up front instead of worrying about high hourly rates. Now, that's how LegalZoom has become the leader in helping families with their legal needs. You get the legal help, and you walk away feeling great about it. So don't leave the most important decisions that you can make in the hands of other people. Take control of your family's future with an estate plan bundle at LegalZoom.com today. Just use Hannity1 when you check out and save even more. LegalZoom.com. Right, I have a message for all of you based on things that I know and sources I have and things that are driving me nuts. If you listen to the media, they are telling you Trump allies are plotting a candidate intervention after a disastrous 48 hours. Key Republicans close to Trump's orbit are plotting an intervention with the candidate after a disastrous 48 hours led some influential voices in the party to question whether Trump can stay at the top of the Republican ticket without catastrophic consequences for his campaign at large. RNC head Reince Priebus, Mayor Giuliani, House Speaker Newt Gingrich are among Trump endorsers hoping to talk the real estate mogul into a dramatic reset of his campaign in the coming days. By the way, there are things he can improve on. We're going to get to that in a second. The Daily Mail, Republicans actively exploring a plot to ditch Trump. Incredibly upset, party chair Reince Priebus calls candidate over the feud with the Kahn family. Anyway, Republicans are revisiting party rules for filling vacancies after Trump's erratic week. Plan would only work if Trump were to remove himself from the ballot. Officials are fuming over candidates' refusal to endorse Paul Ryan and also John McCain. Now, look, my first thing I would say to Donald Trump about all of this is he's got to stop talking. We're 96 days away, 96 days away from this election. And this election is completely winnable. You can't listen to a media narrative and you can't, you know, I understand his frustration with Paul Ryan and John McCain and Lindsey Graham. And I don't think Senator Ted Cruz is endorsed or John Kasich or Jeb Bush. I get his frustration. You know, I'm particularly annoyed at Paul Ryan. You know, Paul Ryan is up against the fight of his life, if you believe the media and what they're saying about his primary race that's coming up in a week in Wisconsin. And I'm a little sick and tired. It seems Paul Ryan is, and some of these other establishment Republican types,
have taken to the idea that they are going to be true to what it means to be a Republican. And I don't think there's anything about Trump's agenda that's not conservative, except maybe with the issue of trade. You can argue on the issue of free trade, but I think Trump's a free trader. He just wants better trade deals, and everything to him is a negotiation. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I feel like I'm going to tell you one other thing. I'm just going to say it because it needs to be said. If in 96 days Trump loses this election, I am pointing the finger directly at people like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham and John McCain and John Kasich and Ted Cruz, if he won't endorse, and any of the Jeb Bush and everybody else that made promises they're not keeping. And because I have watched and witnessed to the point of incredible frustration, I have watched these Republicans be more harsh towards Donald Trump than they've ever been in standing up to Barack Obama and his radical agenda that has doubled the national debt, that has resulted in a 51-year low in terms of home ownership in this country, the percentage of homes that are owned by Americans, that has led to the lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, and that has led to millions and millions and millions more Americans in poverty and on food stamps and out of the labor force. They did nothing. Nothing. All these phony votes to repeal and replace Obamacare show votes so they can go back and keep their power and get reelected. Sorry, you created Donald Trump, all of you, because of your ineffectiveness, because of your weakness, your spinelessness, your lack of vision, your inability to fight Obama, your fear of being blamed for a government shutdown. And I'm getting a little sick and tired of all of you. I mean, I honestly am just tempted to say I don't support any of you people ever. Well, you know what? Paul Ryan wants to play this game. Well, I haven't made up my mind either. He's running against the guy in the primary. I haven't made up my mind who I'm going to support. Well, you know, we'll find out in a couple of days. I haven't made up my mind. This game that they're playing. And so Trump fires back because he's sick and tired of these idiots that can't. You know, we just had a Democratic convention where you had the single most leftist socialist platform ever written in American history. I don't hear a peep out of any of these people about it. You had a socialist that now defines and captured the hearts of the Democratic Party. You don't hear a peep out of these people. You have a president that was reckless not only with the economy, as I just mentioned, and doubling the national debt and accumulating more debt than every other president before him combined. He literally gave money to the number one state sponsor of terror, Iran, to get hostages back. And he's given these idiots $150 million of money so they can, according to reports last week, now they've cut in half the time they can build nuclear weapons. Where were you after American treasure, blood, sweat, tears, the financial burden of winning Iraq, and you allowed these people to demagogue the war in Iraq and that created an opening for ISIS? I don't hear you critical of Hillary. How many Americans died in Mosul and Ramadi and Fallujah and Tikrit and Baghdad, only to hand it over to the JV team that's contained? You got to be kidding me. How many of you fought Obama on Syria? How many of you fought hard to expose the lies that were told about Libya or the lies in Hillary's email server scandal? Some of you did, but a lot of you didn't. You're too busy criticizing Trump, Speaker Ryan. It's ridiculous. Sick of all of it. With that said, and all that you're reading, you've got to understand that there is establishment types that are probably as equally invested in Donald Trump losing as are the Democrats. Even though Trump leads in the latest LA Times poll, I saw a poll coming out later tonight that Trump's down by 10. You know, even though Obama's failed economy is costing American families $17,000 per year, well, that's a year's worth of college tuition for a student who can't currently afford one. He's too busy giving all this money to Iran for hostages. By the way, voters still say, according to Pew, that Trump's more likely than Hillary to turn the country around. Here's my advice for Trump, if he wants to listen. there is some valid criticism here that you need to take to heart. You don't need to talk about Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, Paul Ryan, John Kasich. You're not running against them. You don't need to talk to Mr. Khan and respond to every criticism that is sent your way. You don't need to attack on Twitter CNN, CBS, NBC, ABC, and MSNBC anymore. There's no point. You have one job in the next 96 days, and that is not to fall into Hillary Clinton, the media's trap of discussing things that get you off of focus. If Hillary Clinton can convince enough voters that Mr. Trump doesn't have the temperament for the presidency or that he's too impulsive, then Hillary will win this election. She cannot win on her record. She cannot win on substance. She cannot win on issues of integrity and honesty and character. Without exception, wherever I am, people stop me and they ask me all the time to send a message to Mr. Trump. Next time you see him, just tell him to shut up and tone it down. Every person, without exception. And these people in that sense are right. So if he wants to win the election, this is my advice for you. The Trump campaign needs message discipline. They need social media discipline. The only person he should talk about for the next 96 days is Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's failures. That's it. Nobody else should be mentioned or fought with, period. There's only so many people. Look, I have to make this decision sometimes in life, too. I can only be in so many fights at once. You know, sometimes I get a cheap shot taken at me by this person in the media. I'm like, I don't have time. I just can't deal with it now. You gotta prioritize. So the first thing is I'd only mention Hillary and Obama. They're your opponents. The topics should be about your agenda to get Americans back to work, jobs, fixing our broken economy, and protecting our homeland. If you want surrogates to go out and battle Paul Ryan and Mr. Khan and John McCain and Lindsey Graham, go send them out. That's not your job. Somebody has got to manage social media a little better in this campaign. That's now crucial because one bad tweet can be a 5, 6, 10-day story. I would stay on message. I would stay on teleprompter. And, you know, I don't think this is really hard, the comparing and contrasting of what your vision for the country is versus Hillary. And in every speech, I would lay out the following. I will appoint Antonin Scalia, Clarence Thomas types, originalists, to the Supreme Court. People that believe in the Constitution, have fidelity to the Constitution, that believe in checks and balances and co-equal branches of government. I'd focus very, 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 very specifically on homeland security and protecting the homeland. A president that, unlike Obama and Hillary, that will recognize and say the words radical Islam, recognize ISIS is not the JV team, that ISIS is not contained, and that they are a real, clear, present danger to America. I would point out in every speech that the reason you will build a wall is because you recognize open borders are a clear and present danger to the country, and that there are 95 million Americans out of work and 50 million in poverty and 46 million on food stamps. I would focus on them first, and they ought not have to compete with illegal immigrants who don't respect our laws and sovereignty for the jobs Americans need and that are driving down wages. I would make the case, and I would quote Clapper and Comey and McCall and General Allen and all the national security people that have warned ISIS will infiltrate the refugee population. And I would say, I'm not going to gamble with the lives of the American people the way Hillary will. I would talk about fixing America's broken economy and getting rid of waste and fraud and abuse, adopting some type of budgetary restraints like the penny plan, how cutting taxes will stimulate the economy, how there's trillions of dollars parked by multinational corporations, and you're going to incentivize them to bring those trillions back and build manufacturing centers and factories so American workers in Ohio and Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania can all get back to work where they want to be. I'd explain all of this to the American people. I'd explain that unlike Hillary, you're not going to shut down the coal industry and put out of work coal miners. That you're going to expand coal production, clean coal. That you're going to expand drilling in the 48 states and Anwar and elsewhere. That you're going to expand nuclear technology. You're going to expand fracking. And that's going to create millions of jobs, high-paying jobs for Americans. I'd expand on the importance of education being sent back to local municipalities and to the states. You can make your case for better trade deals. Yeah, because you're right. The trade imbalance needs to get in balance. I think you should continue making the case about keeping our promises to our vets that have been screwed over by an institutional bureaucracy that incentivized people to be corrupt because they got bonuses. I think putting America first in every decision is a strong case to be made. Building the wall is important. All of these things is what you ought to be talking about. Not John McCain, as annoying as he is. Not Paul Ryan, as annoying as he is. Not Lindsey Graham, as annoying as he is. Not any of these people that didn't keep their pledge that you ran against. Forget it. You beat them. Move on. There's only one person you need to defeat if you want to be president and try and fix this mess, this colossal mess that is leading to America's precipitous decline. And that's Hillary Clinton. And Barack Obama, of course, the two of them implemented this disaster. That's what you should be focused on. That's my advice. Do I think he's going to listen? I don't know. But that's what I would focus on. That's what my agenda would be. And that's what I think the American people want to hear. And I don't think they care any longer about picking fights with Gold Star fathers and mothers. It's just, there's no upside. None. And if I don't see an upside, it takes you off of message and it gives an opening for the media that already hates you, is predisposed to hurt you, to run with a story and distract your message for 5 to 10 days. It's insane. That's my advice. I know what everybody else is saying. I think for all of you that are panicked, I wouldn't panic, because I think this is extraordinarily doable, extraordinarily winnable. And as of today, 96 days out, I can't tell you who's going to win, because a lot of it's going to be up to Mr. Trump himself. Does he want to win? Is he going to listen? Because the message is there. You know when a book just really hooks you and you just can't put it down? Well, with Audible, well, you don't have to. Discover where Audible audiobooks can take you. Now, maybe it's a book you've been wanting to read for a long time. Now, Audible has something special for everyone. So download your books or shows on your mobile device and listen anytime, anywhere. And with an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, Audible is your best source for everyday entertainment. The Audible app makes listening a breeze with features like chapter navigation and narration speed control. So access your books, your shows, anytime, anywhere, right from your smartphone or your tablet. Join Audible today and explore the world's leading provider of audiobooks, all beautifully performed by talented actors and narrators. Now you can start a 30-day trial and download your first audiobook for free. Just go to audible.com/Hannity to get started. That's audible.com/Hannity for a 30-day trial and audiobook.
ISIL has a large cadre of Western fighters who could potentially serve as operatives for attacks in the West. And the group is probably exploring a variety of means for infiltrating operatives into the West, including in refugee flows, smuggling routes, and legitimate methods of travel.
To what degree do you believe that ISIS will continue to attempt to infiltrate their refugee flows?
Ma'am, I think that they are doing that today. What we have seen growing in the past months and year is that in that flow of refugees, we see criminality, terrorism, and foreign fighters. And I know that doesn't sound like a distinction, but I see a distinction in the latter two. And so this criminality, the terrorists, and the returning foreign fighters are clearly a daily part of the refugee flow now.
We have heard from some on the Hill who say there is a potential jihadi pipeline if we bring these refugees in quickly, and they call it a national security threat. Do you agree?
I think we should watch it. We should be conscious of the potential that Daesh may attempt to embed agents within that population.
I think that's the challenge we're all talking about, is that we can only query against that which we have collected. So if someone has never made a ripple in the pond in Syria in a way that would get their identity or their interests reflected in our database, we can query our database till the cows come home, but we're not going to, there'll be nothing show up because we have no record on that person. That's what Assistant Director Steinbach was talking about. You can only query what you've collected. And with respect to Iraqi refugees, we had far more in our databases because of our country's work there for a decade. This is a different situation.
Of course, as they descend on Europe, one of the obvious issues that we worry about, and in turn as we bring refugees to this country, is exactly what their background. I don't obviously put it past the likes of ISIL to infiltrate operatives among these refugees. So that is a huge concern of ours.
Some fear that some of these refugees may actually be posing as refugees, but they might actually be Al-Qaeda or ISIS terrorists trying to sneak into Europe or the United States. What do you make of that?
Well, certainly that's a possibility. I mean, you can't dismiss that out of hand.
Director Rasmussen, Mr. Steinbeck, would that bring in Syrian refugees pose a greater risk to Americans?
I mean, it's clearly a population of concern, and as Undersecretary Taylor said, what we want to be able to do is apply the full weight of U.S. intelligence community holdings to the vetting and screening process.
Oh, Mr. Steinbeck?
Yeah, I'm concerned. We'll have to take a look at those lists and go through all the intelligence holdings and be very careful to try and identify connections to foreign terrorist groups.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Now, I want to get back into this issue. The root cause of this controversy, this, well, media-created brouhaha over Mr. Khan and his speech at the Democratic National Convention, is that this idea that is put forth by Donald Trump to put a temporary ban on refugees coming from countries that practice Sharia or have issues involving terrorism seems to have gotten way out of hand. Now, what you heard just there is you heard from our top national security experts. You heard from our FBI director, Comey. You heard from our assistant FBI director, Steinbeck. You heard from Major General John Allen, who was Obama's former special envoy to defeat ISIS. Brennan, our CIA director, has weighed in. Chairman McCall, the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, all have said that ISIS potentially can infiltrate the refugee population in this country, as they have done in Europe, in Belgium, in France, in Germany, and it has resulted in terror attacks. Now, of the 6,800 and some odd refugees from Syria that have been brought into this country, well, 99.3% are Muslim, Shia, Sunni, or just general Muslim, as they are classified. Now, we have a Christian genocide going in from that region and the Yazidis and elsewhere, and we've chronicled that on this program often with Nareen Anwaya, who's been on this program, and she talks about the genocide. She talks about a modern-day Holocaust. She talks about the persecution of Christians, but we're not taking them into the country. So in one sense, there is a religious litmus test that is ongoing. Now, on top of the 10,000 refugees that Obama wants to bring into the country now, in spite of what his top intelligence officials are warning, well, Hillary wants a 550% increase on that. And the Department of Homeland Security is now granting 8,000 Syrian refugees temporary amnesty on top of those that we're taking in. That brings it to nearly 20,000. And again, a 550% increase by Hillary. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson said that if these refugees are in the country as of Monday, they're eligible to permanent resident status, work permits, other documents that will allow these migrants to remain without fear of deportation. The amnesty also applies to Syrian refugees that have not entered the country legally. How's this happening? Why is this happening? Now, all the brouhaha over Mr. Khan. Well, Donald Trump called Mr. Khan's son an American hero.
when Donald Trump talks about the refugee plans that he has, Donald Trump, by my estimation, is listening to all of those intelligence officials I just mentioned. And Mr. Khan's family would not be included in that group. So him waving the Constitution, making a big deal about this, the media running with it, is absent of what a truthful narrative on refugees ought to be about. And of course, I'm not surprised or shocked that the media in this country is dishonest. I declared that journalism is dead. I declared that back in, 2007, 2008. Joining us now, Congressman Brian Babin, former Navy SEAL. Leif Babin also is with us. He wrote the book Extreme Ownership, How U.S. Navy SEALs Lead and Win. They both join us. Congressman Babin, by the way, says that our current refugee resettlement program is a clear and present danger to the United States. He has authored H.R. 3314. It's a Resettlement Accountability National Security Act of 2015, and that bill would prohibit the admission of refugees into the U.S. until Congress passes a joint resolution giving the Department of Homeland Security the authority to resume admitting refugees. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you, Sean. Great to be there.
Congressman Babin, tell me about the status of your bill. It should have been passed a long time ago.
Well, I can't disagree with that. The bill is in committee. We're working on getting some of the language in some of our must-pass bills. But this is, as you said, a clear and present danger to our nation. We don't have to look any further than Western Europe, the no-go zones, the terrible attacks they've had in Paris and Brussels and Nice. And here as well, Boston, San Bernardino, Orlando. These folks are here. They've promised they were going to infiltrate. They have. And we've given them, with this program, an open door of opportunity to come into our country, not only legally, but at taxpayer expense for ISIS and other terrorist groups to set up bases of operation right here. And it's got to stop. And that's what H.R. 3314 will do, Sean.
Leif, if in fact these refugees that our intelligence officials say we can't possibly vet, that ISIS will infiltrate that population, like as the congressman mentioned in Europe. If, in fact, Americans are killed by some of these refugees or ISIS fighters posing as refugees, would the people that are allowing this to happen have blood on their hands if that were to occur?
I think that's absolutely the case, Sean. I think you're correct. I mean, they're complicit in allowing this to happen. I mean, the first and foremost duty of our federal government is the security of American citizens. And so in order for us to they need to do their jobs. And we've got to get other Republicans to join my dad in his effort and have the courage to stand up and put a stop to this madness.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's basic, simple common sense. And, you know, one of the things that frustrates me the most about this, and I'll ask your dad, Congressman Babin.
Yes, sir.
The thing that frustrates me, look, I don't think the American people are against helping victims of a civil war. In other words, yeah, I think all our sympathies are with the people of Syria that have been displaced. And I know that Jordan has taken in some people and some of these other countries have taken in limited numbers of people. But America, I think, could be willing to step up and provide military protection and a safe zone for the refugees and food and water and medicine and supplies and cots and blankets and baby formula and anything they needed. It's not like Americans are unwilling to help, but I don't think we help at the expense of gambling with the lives of the American people, knowing what our intelligence community is telling us.
You're exactly right, Sean. I mean, the political pressure exerted on just Western Europe and the United States to take these folks in is enormous. And, you know, ironically, most of as you said a while ago, I think 99.3% are Sunni Muslims coming in. You'd think that Sunni countries like Saudi Arabia would let these folks come in, but they don't. And the fact of the matter is that we are helping these people in these refugee camps. This is a UN plan to begin with. And we can help for the price of bringing one refugee over here to the United States, we can help 12 refugees in these safe zones near their own homelands. And so it's a no-brainer. We don't want to jeopardize our national security as life so articulated. You know, the number one duty of us as elected officials is to uphold the safety and the national security of our people and of the country. And we can help 12 over there for the price of bringing them over here. And and not have the danger of ISIS and other terrorist groups coming into the nation.
Now, you know, as a Navy SEAL, when you talk about extreme ownership, you know, that kind of stands out to me, Leif, because I'm thinking, all right, extreme ownership means if I'm in a position to protect the American people and all of these top officials are warning that the refugee population is going to be infiltrated, and I think about the lives that the politicians that are making these decisions have. They most of them have protection and Secret Service protection, et cetera. I know the president, he deserves that. We have to protect our elected officials. We have to protect our candidates. That would be Hillary Clinton. Even though I have political disagreements, we have a duty to protect them, but they're willing, seemingly, to gamble with the lives of us.
That's exactly right. Extreme ownership requires that leaders take a brutally honest self-assessment and of themselves, of the team, but also of the enemy. And I think that's really where our leadership under the Obama administration, under Hillary Clinton, has failed here, is that they just absolutely will not recognize the threat. And back to your previous question, Sean, we absolutely do want to help these folks. And I think we have an obligation to help these folks. The best way we can help Syrian refugees is by allowing our military to do what they know how to do best, and that is destroy ISIS in Syria and Iraq so that these folks can return to their homes.
Well, I think both of you have really, really good advice here, and I wish that Hillary and I wish that the president would listen. I don't think they will. Congressman Babin, keep us updated on the status of that bill, and I'd like to see it get passed. If we can help in any way, please let us know.
Absolutely. We just need to keep pushing it, Sean, and thank you for your help in that regard.
Yeah. By the way, Leif, my best to you and your family. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much, Sean. Thanks for having us.
800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Ellen is in Birmingham, Alabama. What's up, Ellen? How are you? And we're glad you called.
Hey, I'm doing good, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. This whole thing with the Khan case and Pat Smith and the trying to link all of this to Donald Trump because he wants to keep the country safe. You know, I look at this thing. First of all, the death of Patricia Smith's son really can be connected to the negligence of Hillary as Secretary of State. She ignored 600 requests for added security. Now, if you did that in the corporate world or anywhere, and it ended up resulting in the death of four people, you know, there'd be a completely different response. And then she also hurt his mother with her comments. If you look to the Khan situation, Donald Trump had nothing to do with his death at all. And I thought that in his comments that he was empathic. And when he made the comments about maybe she wasn't able to speak because he's thinking Sharia law, you know, that's just truth about Sharia law. So if Mrs. Khan was, in fact, really offended, which I wonder, then I would say that that, too, is Hillary's fault and the DNC's fault because they tried to use those people as a political ploy against Donald, and I think it backfired.
I don't know if it's backfired. I think the media had an effective week in terms of damaging Mr. Trump. Look, Hillary can't run on issues. She can't run on Obama's success because there isn't any. She can't run on her own record. So the only thing they've got, the only weapon in their arsenal to defeat Trump is to create doubt about his ability, his temperament, and his ability to govern as president. And that's why this phony story was leaked earlier today. Oh, Donald Trump asked three times, can I use a nuclear weapon? Well, I talked to three people in the meeting, and they just said that's absurd. It was never said, not one time. But again, this is politics, and people in politics lie all the time. And it's frustrating, but it's the reality of the world we live in. My friend Ami Horowitz went to the DNC convention and the RNC convention. At the RNC, he held up a sign saying, Hillary for president. How did Republicans react? At the DNC, he held up Trump for president. How did the Democrats react? And is there a major difference? I can tell you the answer. It's probably what you suspect. All right, so how is it? Back to one of our top stories today. The Obama administration secretly airlifting $400 million in cash to Iran in January at the exact same time that Tehran was releasing four jailed Americans, payment that a top congressional Republican is now calling a ransom payment. Wall Street Journal, citing U.S. European officials and congressional sources, reported that the administration procured the money from central banks in Switzerland and the Netherlands, and the money was stacked on wooden pallets and flown to Tehran in an unmarked cargo plane. The money represented the first installment of the $1.5 billion that the administration reached with Iran so they can spin their centrifuges and now cut the time in half that they can actually have a nuclear weapon. It's unbelievable. Anyway, this came at the same time that a formal implementation of this deal was reached. And with the nuclear deal done, prisoners released, the time was right to resolve this dispute as well, Obama said at the time, without revealing that he paid them $400 million. And of course, this is not, remember, arms for hostages, money for hostages. We're not supposed to pay ransom. What happens when you pay ransom? Okay, listen, I'm all in favor of getting people out of prison, out of hostile territory. I'm all in favor of sticking up for Americans. But you pay ransom one time and you're going to be paying ransom forever because everybody knows you're going to pay. It's that dangerous a precedent. Anyway, we want to get Dan Bongino back with us, a decorated former Secret Service agent, author of the book The Fight, a Secret Service agent's account of security failings and the political machine and life inside the bubble. And by the way, he's running down in Fort Myers and in Naples, Florida, southwestern Florida. I don't know many of our listeners down listening to Fox News Radio 92.5. Know all well about Dan Bongino, and I've endorsed him. His primary, by the way, is set for August the 30th. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Sean. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
To me, I mean, is there any other way to interpret this except that this is ransom?
No, I mean, this requires a suspension of disbelief so profound, you literally have to be an idiot to believe the Obama spin. I mean, think about this, Sean. Remember that Ben Rhodes, New Yorker interview, Ben Rhodes, the Obama propagandist, where he told the New Yorker magazine that they're proud of how they spin and lie to the media and how basically the media is really stupid and the Obama administration's figured out they're stupid. I mean, they've been caught lying repeatedly about this kind of stuff. Think about the leap of faith it takes to think that a $400 million cash payment was delivered in the exact same time frame that our hostages were released. But no, they conveniently had nothing to do with one another. And the Obama administration is telling us to treat them, we're all crazy. I mean, it's just absurd to think that.
Well, the bottom line is, I mean, do you agree with my assessment? The reason we have a policy, isn't this illegal, by the way, to pay ransom? The government of the United States to pay ransom? Isn't that what the Iran hostage situation was all about? And such a
right.
big deal was made over the idea that we gave spare parts to get the Americans held hostage, et cetera, and money was funneled to the Contra rebels.
Right. And that was done by proxy. And it was a big deal. This is a direct payment for hostages, which you are correct, is in direct violation of longstanding U.S. policy. And your analysis is accurate. The minute you pay a ransom payment once for a hostage, you incentivize the system for terrorist regimes like Iran to take hold of our people and diplomats and hold them again in the future. But Obama doesn't care about any of that because Obama doesn't care about the future of the country. Obama cares about his political poll numbers, and he wanted what he sees as a foreign policy success to put under his belt, and he really didn't care. So he made a cash payout to a bunch of people who screamed death to America. I mean, really shameful.
How is your campaign going, and how is Donald Trump being received down in Florida?
Well, he did really well down here. I mean, it's not a mystery. He won pretty overwhelmingly down here in the Florida primary down here. The campaign's going good. Unfortunately, there's a lot of sellouts. Sean, I'm really sick of the crap that goes on with the insider class in D.C. I mean, listen, I know you've had experiences with a lot of these people, too, but just because a group has conservative in their name doesn't mean they're conservative. I have an opponent who is a devout amnesty supporter. You know, listen, he's not a bad guy, okay? I don't get into personal politics. But, I mean, you can Google this yourself. It's not a mystery. He was a big amnesty supporter. He's a big crony capitalist. He's been involved with all of the inside baseball class, donating them for a long time and financing their efforts. And you get the American Conservative Union that comes out and endorses this guy. It was almost comical. I said, you've got to be kidding me. And this is the kind of stuff that I don't think the listeners realize goes on behind closed doors. There's all of these guys sitting around smoking cigars, patting each other on the back, wearing their bow ties, celebrating how they're going to kick conservatives out of Congress. I mean, we're going to be the last man standing, Sean, on August 30th if Paul Nealon loses in Wisconsin. So, you know, I don't know what to tell your listeners to get them more excited, but don't forget these down ballot races. There is a concerted effort to get conservatives out of Congress happening right
now. Are they now actively campaigning against you?
Oh, my. It's ridiculous. I'll give you a quick example. Last night, we put out about $2,000 worth of signs. Mysteriously, in one night, they all disappeared. All of them. No one else's. Ours.
But do you know that, for example, congressional leadership has chosen somebody in this race over you? Do you know that they're funneling information, if they're funneling money, if they're offering support for your opponent?
Oh, absolutely. There's a concerted effort of establishmentarian think tanks, Rhino types, amnesty supporters, Chamber of Commerce types, you know, K Street types that, yeah, actively form a network that's been coming out against me in the form. And I can put, it's not just speculation. Look at the endorsements that everybody's gotten in the race and the ones I've gotten. I've gotten the actual people who stand on principle, you know, the Mike Lees, you know, the Rand Pauls, the Family Research Council, people that actually care about the issues endorsed me. And then you look at all the inside baseball class, and they're all behind my opponent. And it really is a concerted effort to get rid of grassroots candidates. They don't want that. I mean, the inside baseball class does not want to give up power. Principle is a distant, distant second to them.
You know, it's sad because we lost Tim Huelskamp yesterday.
Devastating.
Yeah, it's devastating. I mean, he was, you know, one of the original Freedom Caucus guys that's standing up on principle and fighting. And what happened? He paid a big price on it.
You got Crane in Georgia, too, Sean. You had Crane in Georgia the week before, who went down to another inside baseball guy. And Sean, one quick thing on this, man. This isn't like, these aren't swing districts. I'm in a blood red district. Conservatives should get elected.
No, you're a seat holder until I go move down there and take my seat.
I tell you, you have my word on the air right now. When you come down and run, I will step aside, okay? It's yours after that.
Why would you want to do that to me? Why would you want me to go to Washington? I mean,
listen, after what I just went through in this race and all the nonsense that's been going on behind the scenes,
no, it's awful.
Really, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It really is.
I hope the people in Southwest Florida listening to Fox News 92.5 are paying very close attention. Dan Bongino, keep us updated on the race. We'll have you back soon. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. Tina is in Florida. Tina, apparently a Gold Star mom. Tina, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm glad you called. And tell us a little bit about the person you lost in your life.
My son, Joseph Tremblay. He was killed in 2005.
How old was he?
23.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. That's so brutal.
Yeah, well, I'm just, like, really infuriated at Mr. Khan at this point because my son, his son, so many of our soldiers have died for freedom's sake, and that's what they stood for. And, you know, Sean, I wish I was on the stage when Mr. Khan pulled out the Constitution and mocked Donald Trump, because I would have attacked him with two questions. Are you affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood? And do you have a copy of the Sharia law in your other pocket? Because I believe that's what he stands for, which is enslavement, which is like my son died for nothing because he's dying for freedom. You know, the Iraqi people at the time from the Taliban. So for him
what frustrates me is, and this happened in Vietnam, 58,000 Americans, our national treasure, you know, fighting, bleeding, giving up their lives, 5,000 in Iraq, Afghanistan, plus, and then many more giving up their limbs and literally massive injuries that they sustained doing what their country asked them to do. Now, Trump was against the war. Hillary was for the war. And then all of a sudden, Hillary does what we now seem to be duplicating every time we go to war, commit brave men and women to war. Then when things get a little hot and, you know, politically, maybe it's not as acceptable to support the people you sent there. Well, then they pull them out. And then you think, OK, well, now that created an opening for ISIS. They now have Mosul and Ramadi and Fallujah and Tikrit. Was your son fighting in any of those cities?
He was in Mosul.
Yeah, he was in Mosul. Yeah.
And for our president to just give it up like it was nothing and just pull out of there really disgusts me, because he was fighting for their freedom as well as our freedom from the Taliban. And for him to just pull out like that and leave it so it could be infiltrated by what we have now, which is ISIS, which is terrorizing the whole world. You know, I'm just really, like I said, I'm upset with Mr. Khan and his statements and what he literally stands for. He's not standing for it. He's using the Constitution. But
look, I don't want to take any shots at Mr. Khan. He's entitled to his views. What bothers me is the double standard more than anything. I know Pat right. Smith. She lost her son Sean in Benghazi. I've interviewed her many, many times. She spoke at the Republican convention, and Hillary basically called her a liar. And the lack of balance in terms of the media coverage of this takes your breath away. And it bothers me so much that this is now the biggest obstacle between weak-kneed Republicans without spines that are more critical of Trump than either Obama or Hillary. And then you have situations like this where, you know, they want to jump on the bandwagon. And it's frustrating because at the end of the day, the media is given the biggest contribution anybody can ever give. And they're running with the narrative that Hillary sets forth. And that's a problem.
Sure is.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. How do you don't ever recover, do you, when you lose a child?
Well, the Christian that I am, I thank God I had him in my past. And I thank God I have him in my future.
Yeah.
And that's how I deal.
God bless you.
In my mind, he's off the boot camp. I will see him again soon, forever. And that's how I deal with it.
Well, it's a beautiful thought, and I believe in an afterlife as well. I think you're a very strong, courageous woman, and I know that our thoughts and prayers on this show are with you and as well as our audience, and no parent should have to go through what you're going through and what you've been through. Anyway, thank you, Tina.
You have a blessed day.
You Bye. Too. Bye-bye. Let's get back to our phones. Let us say hi to Lisa in Florida. We'll stay in Florida. What's going on, Lisa? How are you?
Oh, it's great. Thank you very much for taking my call today, Sean.
Yes, what's going on?
I just wanted to say it kind of ties in with everything that you've been talking about, that, yes, there's a double standard about Democrats misrepresenting Trump, but it's also a fact of Republicans eating their own, because as a Republican, we voted for Donald Trump historically, and we made our voices clear, and now, I mean, it's to the point where Republicans say things and apologize for things that now that when I know I fact-checked them, that they're wrong on our side, and it's very upsetting, and it's really disillusioned me. The example that comes to mind is when they said Trump was mocking a disabled person, and both sides said it, to the point where finally this weekend I had missed it, and I looked it up, and I was like, he's not, I was thinking it was a mentally challenged person, and the guy has something wrong with his hand, and I'm sorry about that, but he wasn't making fun of a mentally challenged person. And there's also video of Trump doing the same thing, sort of making fun of Cruz in the same voice, but no one says those things. And that's one thing I wanted to thank you for, is that you fact check where we don't have, you know.
Listen, I'm going to tell you what's happening.
Don't have time to do this.
Look, Donald Trump does not have the luxury that Hillary Clinton has in this election because of the media double standard. Hillary can be caught repeatedly lying and even called out on it by the FBI director, then go on television and say, no, he didn't lie. He didn't say I lied. He didn't say that at all, which is another lie on that she heaps on top of all the other lies. It's frustrating, but it's what the reality of this is. And then you've got Republicans that jump on the bandwagon because they want to make themselves look well. Well, that's going to result in, okay, Hillary's going to make Supreme Court appointments. Hillary's not going to build a wall. Hillary's not going to repeal Obamacare. Hillary's not going to, she's going to put coal miners out of work, coal mining industry out of business. So she's not going to do anything with education. She's in the pocket of the NEA. We're not going to solve America's debt problem. We're not going to solve or get Americans back to work, out of poverty, and off of food stamps. So all of this intensity that is out there by Republicans is because they're too timid. They created Trump. I've said it from the beginning. And now they're trying to kill him as best they can, especially the establishment types. I'm fed up with all of it.
I'm here in Cleveland at the Republican National Convention to get an idea of how Republicans react when faced with an opposing view. Hillary, gonna be good for the country. Come on. I love Hillary. Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you for your courage.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you.
It's not city. It's next
city. Oh, jeez.
Like, oh, there you go. Next city shows out in the
Yeah.
That was a good one. Hillary?
God loves you anyway.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you. Thank you.
That experiment went so well, I went to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, to the Democratic National Convention to see if I would get a similar reaction from Democrats.
Trump for president, everybody. Trump for president. Nah, he's not a dick. He's looking out for us. Did you just spit on me? That was not nice. Come on.
It don't have to be nice.
You smother that mouth?
I mean, yeah, on the cheek, though. Why is that? All right, man, whatever. Free speech, right?
That's racism.
No.
Why do you think
so? You consider yourself
racist? Are you doing this for attention?
Not at all.
You like what?
Immigration.
Everybody is a... Everybody can get their own opinion, but your opinion...
I'm not legal.
Your ancestors came here.
The litany of your privilege.
Trump sent us... He's trying to send us back to Africa or something.
Africa.
You got to look at it from our perspective. We was Africa. If y'all was African, and he sent y'all back, y'all would...
Why are we the only people who are not allowed to be angry?
Thank you.
Why can't we be angry?
All right, news roundup information overload hour of the Sean Hannity Show. That, of course, is that lunatic friend of ours, Ami Horowitz, and a documentarian. He went to the DNC and RNC conventions, experimented with the American public. All right, now, I have to ask you this all the time. Do you edit this stuff?
Obviously we edit them, but this video, like every other video, is completely reflective of what I found. I didn't have, the entire time I was out in front of the RNC, I didn't have a single person, not one person, say something negative or push back on me or be nasty. Not a single person.
All right. So everybody, when you're at the RNC convention in Cleveland, it's I love Hillary and everybody's nice to you.
Yeah, everybody was great.
There wasn't one person, not one, that wasn't nice to you.
Not one.
Okay.
Not one.
Now you go to the DNC convention. You got your Trump sign. Did you really get spit at?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've watched that video, man. You see that spit come right at me.
All right. So we're going to put it up on Hannity.com now. All right. And so my question to you is, did anybody say anything nice to you?
I mean, a few of the cops who were guarding the perimeter kind of gave me some very subtle thumbs up.
Now, were you within the perimeter or outside the perimeter?
I was right outside the perimeter as the delegates are walking in. So they got to pass by me in order to walk in, similar to what I was doing.
All right, so you got spit at. What else happened?
I mean, the biggest thing I heard, which was like, I probably heard this 30, 40 times, you're a racist. He's a racist. You're a racist. Just by holding up a candidate for the Republican Party, that makes me automatically a racist. That was, they went through the race car time in and time out.
Unbelievable. So that was the main met. Well, because that's what Democrats are fed. That's what the public is fed. That, you know, if you, for example, if you look at crime statistics, illegal immigrants, some mothers talk to the Republican convention and you see that, wow, in Texas alone, when I sat through a security briefing that Obama should have been at, I found, well, in the course of what, an 8-year period, that 642,000 Texans were victims of crime. It begins to open your eyes a little bit. Donald Trump talks about it. Somehow that must be racist. Or if you talk about, well, are every intelligence official in the country saying we better not let in the refugees because what happened in Belgium and France and Germany and Europe is going to happen here. Well, you say, OK, we need a better vetting system. And until then, we'll shut it down. Well, that's racist, too.
Racist.
Yeah, exactly.
That's their go-to word. Listen, the reality, I've always known this, and I think people on our side know this also. When faced with opposing views, the right is always more accepting of that view than the left. It's the reason why totalitarianism generally comes from the left and not as much from the right. It's because they simply cannot stand an opposing view. And I think because they can't win the intellectual argument against us because we're the ones who are right, therefore their only move is to either get violent, get nasty, or of course use the racist word, the anti-Islamic word, the homophobic word, because that's the only language they can use to win because it's an
emotional
argument.
All right, can I ask you this question? Why you must have a self-destruct button or something? Because no sane person would be doing the things that you do. Why do you do this?
Sean, let's be honest. Nobody's going to put me on TV because of my pretty face, okay? Or I got to do outrageous stuff to get airtime. Otherwise, nobody cares about me. I'm not that interesting.
Well, we find you interesting. You're very funny. All right, Ami Horowitz, love you. Thank you for sharing that with us. It's up on Hannity.com right now. If you want to take a look at the video is even more poignant than the audio. It's pretty amazing. All right, as promised, let's get to our busy telephones here as we say hi to Nathan in Columbia, Missouri. Nathan, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Pleasure to talk to you. I'm doing great. Hey, you know, with Trump never running a campaign before and now being the Republican nominee, I think it's a groundswell of people, Tea Party and things like that, that are upset with the establishment. We had our statewide primaries here in Missouri yesterday. Of our four statewide offices that were on the ballot, three of them are people that have never held a political office before.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even close. I mean, we're talking landslide elections, and one of the guys that ran for attorney general ran on the whole thing that he fought Obama at the Supreme Court on Hobby Lobby. I mean, it's an anti-establishment. Those that were establishment were getting big donations from their big donors, trying to outspend and run a smear campaign, and they lost big. And I think America is finally, the voters are coming out and saying, we're not going to take it anymore. And it's, if you listen to Trump and Mike Pence's speech at the convention, it felt like morning in America again.
You know, I know that right now establishment Republicans are in full kind of freak out mode, and I've been addressing this all day. And, yeah, I mean, I think Trump has made a mistake. I don't think he ought to be arguing with Mr. Kahn, Paul Ryan, or John McCain. But it's not the lethal blow that they're making this out to be. And I keep going back to there's too many Republicans that are too threatened by this outsider insurgent that in their minds, well, he doesn't fit the temperament for president. Well, OK, what are your options here? Let's go through the list of things that he has promised to do versus Hillary. So I don't think they're understanding the mood of the public. I think that, yeah, this has the potential to be a close race. I can't pick today who's going to win this race. I can tell you that Republicans, including some of those that ran for president that didn't keep their pledge and promise, they're hurting Mr. Trump. And they're hurting them because for their own whatever selfish motivation they may have. Paul Ryan, I'm kind of sick of Ryan being more harsh towards Trump than he is towards Obama or Hillary. I'm getting sick of all of it. So there is a self-destruct button here, and I don't think people are keeping their focus. But with all that said, as I mentioned at the start of the program today, if Trump goes back to the basics, realizes he only has one opponent here, and he can bring up Obama, those are the two people he should talk about for the next, 96 days, 97 days? And if he keeps on his agenda about judges, about Obamacare, about energy, about education, about the border wall, about refugees, then I think that wins the day. If he falls into Hillary's trap and the narrative that Hillary is set out, that he doesn't have the temperament. Now, take it. This is coming from a pretty angry, fierce woman, and I'm quoting George Stephanopoulos and Dee Dee Myers, that she has a volcanic temper.
I made this case and that we had to go forward. We had no choice anymore but to go for a special counsel. And, man, she has jumped down my throat. You know, basically, you know, you never believed in us. You never stood for us. You know, we were all alone in New Hampshire, and it was fierce and chilling. She kind of belittled him in front of everybody, and, you know, I thought he took it, and I couldn't believe that she really believed. I didn't believe that she really believed it. And anybody that stood up and tried to say this is a bad idea was, you know, smashed down and belittled, very personally.
So that kind of sort of debunks the myth that Hillary has this great temperament to be president. All right, back to our telephones here as we say hi to Ava is in Georgia. Ava, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Hi, John. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on the Kahn situation.
Yep.
I'm a Gulf War vet, and I was watching the DNC convention. And when the family first came out, you know, you just got to have so much compassion and empathy for this family to have lost their son.
Mm-hmm.
But when they started blaming Trump and started talking about the Constitution, I just became angry. They did not sacrifice their son's life. Their son, because he loves America, sacrificed his own life.
Show me the evidence that when Donald Trump's talking about refugees, show me the evidence that Donald Trump was talking about the cons.
There is no evidence. I mean, Trump is simply saying, until we have a way to guarantee that the people we're accepting from these countries that are really high with terrorism right now, we can't bring these people into our country and risk American citizens' lives. That is not targeting Muslim Americans. That is saying
all he's doing
from an area that is dangerous. We need to make sure that we can, you know, definitely know that you are not coming here out of false reasons. That's well, not racist.
Listen,
that's not,
the media senses they've got an issue and they've got blood in the water here. And that's why they're trying to make this bigger than this is. And they are purposely distorting what he said. Now, with that said, Trump has to factor all of that in. And the last person I think anybody ought to be engaged if you're 96 days out of an election in a fight with is the father of a American hero that died serving his country. And even whatever he says about you. So, again, I go back to my original points earlier, which is that Trump needs to keep his focus where it belongs. And that's on Hillary. That's on jobs. That's on the economy. That's on protecting the homeland. Obama's failures. Those are the things that I would focus in on like a laser beam and never let up on. And as far as Paul Ryan or Republicans that don't support him or Ted Cruz or John Kasich or any of these people, I don't think it matters. I think what he's got to do is prove that he's going to roll up his sleeves, fix the country, and turn the country around from the bad direction we're headed. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN. Thank you, Ava. Thank you for serving your country, too. God bless you. We appreciate your service. Florida, Jack is next on the Sean Hannity Show.
Yeah, hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. You sound real good down here in West Melbourne. Yeah, the point I wanted to make was, you know, this whole con situation, the Democrats parading the con family in front of the whole world like this, they got it all wrong. They are the reason, really a big, major part of the reason why so many of our finest young men and women are coming home in body bags, crippled for life, because they're stretching this war out. They're not handling it. Obama he's not taking them seriously. He calls them the JV team. He doesn't even think they're Muslims, and he's not taking them seriously. He stretches out. Whereas Trump saying, hey, look, when I get president, I'm going to take these people so seriously, it's going to make their heads spin. And our boys and our young men and women, they're not going to be coming home like this because ISIS will be dealt with. And with Hillary, you're going to get, it's just going to be Obama again. This war is going to be stretched out. They have no plan for victory. Obama says he wants to manage ISIS. He doesn't want to defeat them. Trump is saying, I'm going to wipe them out. And that is how you save lives, is you end the war. You beat the enemy.
The,
and that is not going to happen with Hillary.
It's not going to happen. I mean, think of the position she's in. How inconsistent this is that Hillary Clinton supported the war, you know, when it was popular to support the war. And then, of course, she bought into this ridiculous narrative that, well, we've got to pull out now. And that, of course, created a vacuum for ISIS that didn't benefit anybody. And we're all now victims of that bad approach.
A man comes to him, a veteran, so kindly, what a gracious man, hands him his Purple Heart. What he does, he receives it, thanks him, puts in his pocket, later on pulls it out. I got this Purple Heart. So easy, I always wanted one. Donald Trump, you had the time. You did not serve. You know what you should have done? And listen to me, and I want his surrogates to listen to me. You should have pin that back to that veteran's chest and should have hugged him and thanked him. That is lack of, I'm sorry, I'm shouting. I'm just so upset at this lack of empathy, lack of common sense. He wants to be the leader, commander-in-chief of this United States of America. That is the thoughtfulness. He should have put that Purple Heart, that if he would have been sensible, he would have known what it takes to earn that Purple Heart. That Purple Heart belongs to that person. That was the most gracious person that came and handed him the Purple Heart. He takes it in his pocket and says, very easy, I always wanted one. Well, you had your chance. You skipped. You dodged the draft. And now you wanted easy Purple Heart in your pocket. You should have pinned it back. Even now, call that man.
I don't know if you saw this speech, but there was a man named Kaiser Khan speaking at the Democratic Convention last night. His son, Captain Humayun Khan, was killed serving in Iraq, and he had some very tough questions for you. He said you wouldn't have even let his son in America.
He doesn't know that. I saw him. He was, very emotional and probably looked like a nice guy to me. His wife, if you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She wasn't allowed to have anything to say. You tell me, but plenty of people have written that. She was extremely quiet, and it looked like she had nothing to say. A lot of people have said that. And personally, I watched him. I wish him the best of luck, George.
What would you say to that father?
Well, I'd say we've had a lot of problems with radical Islamic terrorism. That's what I'd say. We have a lot of problems where you look at San Bernardino, you look at Orlando, you look at the World Trade Center, you look at so many different things. You look at what happened to the priest over the weekend in Paris where his throat was cut, 85-year-old beloved Catholic priest. You look at what happened in Nice, France a couple of weeks ago. I'd say you got to take a look at that because something's going on and it's not good.
He said you have sacrificed nothing and no one.
Well, that sounds, who wrote that? Did Hillary's script writers write it? Because everybody that went out there, we also had John Allen who failed with ISIS. I mean, he was a general. General Allen, he went out and he's ranting and raving. And then I read a report. He was in there for a number of months and he failed with ISIS.
All right, that was Donald Trump responding to, most of the media are calling him Kazir Khan. It really should be Kizra, according to the official pronunciation, as I understand it. And the reality is that we have here a situation where the media has run. Donald Trump called Mr. Khan's son a hero. Nobody seems to want to report that aspect of this. He also was pretty gracious to the father. As it relates to the Purple Heart, I'm sure he was taken by surprise. The media is trying to make a big deal of that. Donald Trump did not dodge the draft. He had legitimate deferral, a number of them. And by the way, if anyone did, it would be Bill Clinton, which is an old issue. But if we're going to talk about that, it wasn't Donald Trump that originally supported this war in Iraq. Now, I did. Hillary Clinton voted for it. The difference between my position, I say if we're going to commit American troops to battle, to conflict, and they put their lives on the line and many lose them, like in Iraq and Afghanistan, over 5,000 American kids are treasure, and they fight and bleed and die, and they win cities like Baghdad and Ramadi and Fallujah and Mosul and Tikrit, and then Hillary Clinton gets a little weak in the knees, and because the whole thing gets politicized, she wants to pull out. Well, that creates the opening for ISIS. And ISIS also then has the financial resources through oil to fund and advance their worldwide desire for a caliphate. Now, Donald Trump, he was against the war, but he said, once you're committed, you got to win it. And he said, we should have taken the oil. Very different than Hillary. So joining us now, we have Eileen Toplansky is with us. She writes for The American Thinker. Rich Higgins is the Vice President of Intelligence, National Security Programs, former manager with the Department of Defense, Combating Terrorism, Technical Support Office, and Irregular Warfare Support Program. I assume that means Special Ops, Black Ops, right?
I could tell you someday, Sean. We'll see.
I'm not that high up on your security list, I can see.
Hillary doesn't care, Sean.
Eileen, you know, you've been doing some research into Mr. Khan, and what did you find out about him?
Well, basically, he deliberately misused the Constitution to make his points. In fact, the 14th Amendment applies to all persons born in the U.S. or naturalized in the U.S. and does not refer to foreign persons in foreign countries. And Trump made it very clear that a ban would not apply to U.S. citizens, members of the U.S. military, and others with a legal right to be in the U.S. Now, these constitutional protections do not apply to people in foreign countries. Pakistanis, for example, in Pakistan, regardless of their religion, do not have U.S. constitutional rights. Furthermore, Trump has limited his proposal to a temporary ban on immigration from some countries, and that's entirely constitutional as well.
Yeah.
Trump is rightfully concerned with radical Islamic terror. It's a daily global occurrence.
Well, this has to do with refugees. What's frustrating about this, he did call Mr. Khan's son a hero. There's nothing in his proposal on refugees. I just played in the last half hour, I played, the FBI director, assistant FBI director, the CIA director, the former special envoy to defeat ISIS, the House Homeland Security Committee chairman, and others
all saying that ISIS will infiltrate this population. This would not have impacted Mr. Khan or Mr. Khan's family in any way, shape, matter, or form. Mr. Trump also supports refugee camps where we can provide food and water and medicine and cots and pillows and supplies and the comforts of life and baby formula, which I think most Americans would be willing to do because of those people that are suffering because of the civil war that has ravaged that country.
Well, I think we have to look at this from a larger picture. Mr. Khan is just one in a long lineup of Sharia-loving Muslim Brotherhood influences that have marked Obama's administration and will continue into Clinton should she be elected. About 5 years ago, I wrote about Dalia Mogahed and Aziza Al-Hibri, who believe that Sharia law is superior to the American Constitution and who were advising Obama. Then we have Huma Abedin, the very close aide to Clinton, who has never been properly vetted, yet her deep ties to the Muslim Brotherhood have been exposed by Walid Shubat, Michelle Bachmann, and Louis Gohmert, and deliberately ignored by our present government. Now, we also know that he's involved in the immigration program, who helps clients gain the E-2 and EB-5 visas, which provide green cards to foreign investors along with their families. This particular visa program is highly controversial and has been accused of allowing foreigners to buy a residency. Basically, it's a citizenship for sale program. So how do you, you know, connect the dots here? Well, the key idea is an Islamic concept known as hijrah, H-I-J-R-A-H. It's important to understand that this is a 1,400-year-old idea that originates in the Quran. And this hijrah, or doctrine of immigration, is not meant to be some romanticized melting pot wherein newcomers gratefully assimilate. It is immigration for Islamic expansionism. It deliberately employs ethnic separatism to gain special status and privileges within the host country. Basically, hijrah is immigration designed to subvert and subdue non-Muslim societies and pave the way for eventual total Islamization. So here we have a gentleman who, first of all, his law firm has now been eliminated from the Internet. It sort of somehow disappeared. He's involved in doing something that would certainly fall into this whole notion of hijrah. And I think that is the larger picture that has to be looked at. No one wants to take away anything from the sacrifice of his son. That's not the issue here. It's a much larger issue here.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only
In other words, for example, all these people, we have 88 separate Sharia courts in Great Britain of all places. Who would have believed that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eileen, that was shocking when I discovered that. The issue of no-go zones has been confirmed in spite of the media narrative to the contrary. That is just a fact.
Right.
I've interviewed people that tell me this all the time. So what we're really talking about here is there is an effort by those that support the caliphate, which is worldwide indoctrination, advancement of the religion of Islam and the practice of Sharia, to go into these countries and basically change the countries, not assimilate. That's just a fact. Isn't that what the caliphate is?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, let me bring in, if I can, Rich Higgins. Rich, is that your understanding?
Sean, I think she did a great job illuminating for people the political nature of the fight. Again, we fixate on the violence in the U.S. national security apparatus, but the subversives and the political maneuvering that is taking place by Muslim Brotherhood and Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated personnel is amazing. I mean, this guy Khan was a hanging curveball for folks that are working in the terrorism community who are knowledgeable on this. I mean, he is a hijra enabler. He is MB-affiliated. He is a Sharia supplicant. He is a registered agent of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and he has ties to the Clinton Foundation through his law firm. I mean, this was a hanging curveball that, you know, we need to hit it out of the park when he comes out and keep tying him back to Hillary. You know, and I thought Trump was really nice to him. I mean, he said he looked like a nice guy. He called his son a hero, and then he says something's going on. That's something that's going on. I mean, here's some baseline statistics for you, Sean. More Muslim Americans have been killed fighting for ISIS than have been killed fighting for the United States since 9/11. You know, start there. Almost three times as many Muslim Americans have been killed fighting for foreign terrorist organizations in Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan since 9/11 than fighting for the USA. 200 more Muslim Americans have tried to fight for ISIS, and the FBI right now has, they say, over 1,000 active ISIS cases the latest of which broke yesterday, where a Washington Metro transit officer was arrested for trying to support ISIS. So the scale and scope of this problem is significant. It transcends violence and touches upon political things that Eileen was painting for people. And it's really on the public to get informed on this. What you saw was Khan executing a sophisticated form of information warfare. You know, all respect to his son, but there are a lot of questions about Mr. Khan and his affiliations that tie right into the wider mission of the Islamic movement taking place internationally.
So do you think he's more extremist than he has been letting on? Do you think these ties are troubling? Do you think his involvement in immigration? And, you know, I feel really horrible even asking the question, because I see nothing wrong with the man. Certainly he lost his son. Certainly he's entitled to his political views. They don't have to match my political views. But unfortunately, the media is running with a narrative that Donald Trump somehow would never have allowed the Khans to come into this country. They would not have been impacted in any way, shape, matter, or form by what Donald Trump's temporary ban on refugees from countries that have radicalism alive and well until we can possibly vet them. It doesn't impact them. It never impacted them. And it's just prudent when you consider that all of our top intelligence officials have said that ISIS will infiltrate that population. And that means likely that Americans are going to die. And I think protecting the homeland has to be priority one for anybody that wants to be president of the United States. Eileen.
Yeah, it's important to realize that Khan admires a pro-jihad Islamist jurist by the name of Ala K. Brohi.
How do you know this?
I got this off of, I believe it was Breitbart.
Okay.
And it's not just the admiration of this gentleman, but Khan himself has his own writings where he has written, quote, "All other juridical works must always be subordinated to the Sharia." So it's somewhat disingenuous of Khan to cite the Constitution when he pointedly believes that Sharia law.
But he's not going to tell you that he supports Sharia. We don't know for sure that he supports Sharia.
It says so in his own writings.
That he supports Sharia law.
Other juridical works must always be subordinated to the Sharia.
Sean, I'll send you the documents. She's right.
Yeah, well, then I think Sharia law is contrary to everything we believe in this democratic constitutional republic. It is the antithesis of the things that we believe in, as practiced in all these countries. And it's a pretty amazing thing that that's not being brought into play.
Well, and I think the next connection, of course, is that for Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party to have anyone like Khan representing them is unconscionable. I mean, the status of women in Islamic countries is breathtakingly depressing. All you have to do is look at
Europe.
Well,
the status of women, the status of gays and lesbians, the treatment of Christians and Jews.
All of them.
Yeah. All right. Thank you both. Born on America's darkest day, 9/11/01, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping American heroes ever since. And when a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young kids are left behind, well, Tunnel to Towers, they pay the mortgage on the family home off to lift that financial burden. Now, for catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds, well, mortgage-free smart homes that enables severely injured heroes to move around their homes more independently. And through the foundation's homeless vets program, Tunnel to Towers is providing housing and services to homeless vets. More than 3,300 were helped last year alone. And people who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities, they need your help more than ever. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices of this country's heroes. Donate $11 a month. Go to their website. It's the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org. Hey, if you want a firearm that is easy to transport, you got to check out the U.S. Survival Rifle from our friends at Henry Repeating Arms. Now, it is a portable rifle that you can put together, take apart in just minutes, and then when you're not using it, you can store the parts in the little case that it comes in. It's so small, you can store it pretty much anywhere, and it's light enough to carry everywhere. Now, it comes in black and two different camo patterns, and you can pick one up for $300 to $400, depending on the finish. Check out their videos. Go to their website. It's one word, henryusa.com/survival. And while you're there, make sure you order their free catalog. Now, Henry makes more than 200 rifles and shotguns and revolvers, all made in America, all backed by a lifetime satisfaction guarantee and the best customer service in the business. Go to their website, henryusa.com. Get their free catalog. They'll send you free decals and a list of dealers where you are. That's henryusa.com. Free catalog decals for the Henry U.S. Survival Rifle.
Ronald Reagan cut taxes, cut government spending, and gave us peace through strength. Now you can celebrate this great president with a limited run, half-ounce silver coin from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. All qualified listeners who visit HannityGold.com this week will get a free Ronald Reagan half-ounce silver coin. So go to HannityGold.com and get yours free while supplies last. That's HannityGold.com.